Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ed McElhenney. Welcome to Warbirds in Review, Air Venture 21. I am the recruit that Connie talked about. I'm new to this program, and I am honored to be here to celebrate a birthday, a anniversary, if you will, of the chipmunk. Again, it is an honor to be here and to bring this to you. And we've got four distinguished chipmunk people here who are going to be talking a little bit about the airplane. And I'm just going to be kind of the rudder of the ship, if you will. I'm going to try to steer these guys in the right direction, and hopefully we'll all come out of this a little bit smarter about the chipmunk. And yeah, we don't have a birthday cake here today, but I think we are celebrating that birthday. I'm going to introduce Richard Wilshire, who is, I'll say now after reading some of his information about the chipmunk, probably one of the most knowledgeable about the airplane. He is an owner. In fact, he owns an airplane, a chipmunk that went around the world, and we'll talk about that later also. An enthusiast, a pilot, and as I said, the guy who's going to be kind of orchestrating this program a little bit with some of his closest friends down the road here. So, Richard, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you get this going and start the celebration.
Okay, thank you very much, Ed. Well, I guess the first thing, I'd like to assure everybody that all the changes of aircraft and personnel and location, the high professional standard is going to be complete luck. There's been no rehearsals.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, indeed. The last time I brought the chipmunk to Oshkosh was in 2018, and on my way home I stopped at this apparently deserted airfield, was fueling, and this truck came up. The guy got out and said, simply the finest airplane you can fly. And this was a guy who was actually an anchor pilot, and he had about 50 hours in the chipmunk. And I think that's just a classic statement. It's debatable, people will argue otherwise, but there's no doubt that the chipmunk is certainly a delightful airplane to fly, and I've never taken anybody up in it who hasn't got out of the city smart with it.
And how old is this airplane now?
My particular airplane is going to be 69 next month.
Okay, but the birthday celebration is
75.
75 years.
75 years old, yeah, and a few months today, yeah. And so, yeah, fabulous airplane. But the reason it exists is that during the Second World War, most of the training that was done in the British Commonwealth countries was done in Tiger Moths, and the parent company in the UK realised that they needed a replacement for the Tiger Moth, so they decided they needed to get on with the training replacement. The problem was, at the time, they were so busily involved in developing the Vampire, which was a jet fighter, the Dove, which was a transport aircraft, which was considered to be perhaps the king air of the day, let's say. And also, importantly, the Comet airliner, which is the world's first jet airliner. In fact, the pictures that you've just seen are all of Canadian operated airliners, in fact, to operate jet transports. So, the directors of the UK company wanted to offload this responsibility, and where better to go than to their Canadian office. Now, it so happened that in the boardroom in 1928, one of the directors had pulled out his iPad, whipped up Four Flight, and said, look, there's this lovely place in Downsville, Ontario, let's go build a factory there. That's what they did. So in 1945, one of the directors from the UK was over in Canada, saw a model of a trainer, and basically said, and so it's a shame actually we're not outside. I was hoping there might be somebody Polish in the audience to help me here. But a gentleman called Wesołolot Jakimilk, yeah, I'm not going to say that twice, took on the design role of the chipmunk, and they produced in something like 7 months. And let us say, this is what we're going to do, and it's important to the company that we get our own in-house design capability. They produced that aircraft in about 7 months and had it rolled out flying on the 22nd of May, 1936. So, I could talk all day about this. You don't want me to, so let's cut it quickly.
Well, let's first talk. I mean, it is a Canadian development aircraft.
It is.
But and they were built there initially, but then it expanded from there.
Well, not just initially, but more in parallel. So
okay.
What happened was, planes produced 5 or 6 airframes initially, and they had 2 under test, and they had some that were shipping to other countries where they didn't have an office. They lost one in a spinning accident, a late recovery, they survived. That left them an aircraft down, and then the head office decided they needed to prototype in the UK. They produced another test article for use in Canada, and they shipped 2 more airframes, numbers 10 and 11, also to the UK. So there were 3 Canadian shipments in the UK, then being used for evaluation. At the same time, they were developing the airlifts in Canada as well. Bear in mind, there was no government requirement specification for this aircraft. It was simply the government UK saying, we're going to need a replacement for the type which was present. Like the steering of the day. They had to start working on convincing the Ministry of Air at the time and the Royal Air Force that they needed this airplane. So the evolution of the aircraft was happening in parallel with a lot of exchange between the two countries. For example, the Tiger started on the 130 horsepower, which was basically a Tiger Moth engine put in a new tin airframe. So they introduced the Mark 8 Gypsy Major, which had 145 horsepower, and at the same time as they were trialling that in the UK, they were also developing that in parallel in Canada. In fact, they couldn't actually operate in the UK until they had an authority to do so from the Canadian designers, even though it was the head office.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Yep.
So
as it turned out, I mean, how many were produced eventually in Canada? How many in England? Or excuse me, Great Britain? Okay,
well done.
I got caught on that
good
yesterday,
and then
also in Portugal.
Yeah. So they produced a total of 217 in Canada.
Okay.
Something like 100 or so, and I forget the precise numbers right now. Went to the Royal Canadian Air Force. Mm-hmm. Some of those, in fact, went into the refresher flying training program, so they weren't actually in direct RCAF operation.
Sure.
They produced exactly 1,000 in the UK, of which 740 went into, well, people will say the RAF, but in fact it was the Royal Air Force, the Royal Navy, and also the Army Air Corps. And then in Portugal, they were looking for a replacement for their Tiger Moths, and what they did was they took 10 from the UK, began to operate those, but took one of them apart, built the jigs for them, and then built a further 60 under license, and following that, because of attrition, they produced a further 6. So the Portuguese produced the last chipmunk built, it came off the line in 1961. And the Canadians produced the first in 1946, so that was the total production span.
And from a pilot standpoint, any one version better than any other? I mean, if I were to buy one today, you know, would people say, oh, buy the Portuguese or buy the...
Well, I'm almost going to defer that question to Harry, because I know he's going to have a very certain
opinion. Okay.
There are differences, there are subtle differences in handling planes. Some will tell you that the Canadian airframe is a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm.
The canopies are different in the later model Canadian aircraft, and so the where the windscreen bow comes over is further forward in the British ones. So in the Canadian ones, it's further back, and I've not got a lot of time flying Canadian chipmunks, but it does tend to offer a little bit of impedance to one's view.
Okay.
The handbrake, it might seem silly, but by the way, it's got a handbrake.
Okay.
The handbrake lever is different in the Canadian ones, and it's not quite so... such a natural hold.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I'm sure you could ask the same question of Harry.
Okay. And just as an aside, and you probably know the answer, but did Prince Charles learn to fly in a chipmunk? As it happened, it was a rumor I'd heard.
No, no, he learned to fly in WP903, which I've had the privilege of flying.
So he did.
That aircraft still flies. It is in bright royal red. I think it's actually, I think it might be called Guards Red or something. it's bright red, and on the top of the canopy bow, it has a large flashing red light, which I think says, keep well away.
Don't mess this up.
Okay. Okay. All right.
That's not what I always call the light. But
okay, I just had to verify. Just heard, and now it's been verified.
And also in New Zealand, there is a chipmunk in which possibly Prince Philip or Prince Edward or some, one of the other ones.
Yeah, well,
okay. Okay. All right.
Still going.
Okay, the ship rudder is turning now, and now can we talk
sure.
to your close friend here?
Let's do that.